Blog Talk Radio.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to thank you and
welcome to Grace and Nurture. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a Ministry View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, he will also be presenting our words of encouragement. So I strongly encourage you all to stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Following the message, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. We know that
winter is coming up on us because it's so dark outside and it's so black outside. And normally this time of morning the sun would be up. But I want to let you know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Also, I want to remind you that the changing of the time is rapidly coming upon us, and so don't miss out on that. That's going to be different this year. Everything over the last 7 months have really been different for us, and when we get ready to change the time, that's going to be different. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, this statement is going to be negative, but normally when time change comes, a lot of people are late for church, forget to set the clock, and we have Bible study at 9 o'clock, they don't come to 10, or what, however all of that is, and so that's going to change, but reality is that many of us are streaming our services, and we have our services on the phone, and there are going to be a lot of people who are going to miss that program or are going to be late coming on that program. So I just want to remind you that I think this weekend, it's going to be a time change, especially here in Atlanta, Georgia. Some places stay the same, but Atlanta, Georgia will be changing. Also, I want to remind you that it almost slipped past me. When we were meeting regular in a building, when October comes around, we made a big to-do of Breast Cancer Month. We'd put bulletin boards up, and we'd get a whole lot of brochures and different things like that to make people aware of it. Now, you're supposed to think about it all year. It's not just something that's a monthly kind of a thing. But anyway, October is Breast Cancer Month awareness, and it's not only just for women, but it's also for men. Men get breast cancer too, and the sooner you can check yourself and find out about it, then the sooner the treatment can start or the treatment can work. Usually, this time of month, also at the congregation, I would have at least 2 or 3 women to give some kind of a testimony about their survival of this breast cancer. And many of them are 3, 4, some are 10-year breast cancer survivors. And so we don't want to miss that. I was just thinking about that the other day. I said, there's something going on in October that we normally do at church and put a lot of emphasis on. And matter of fact, I have on my motorcycle jacket, when I ride around, I have one of those breast cancer and signatures. I got them on all the vests that I wear, and on some jackets that I wear even when I'm riding a motorcycle, because I believe in it. And then when we put on our vests, we button them up sometimes, and sometimes we leave them open. And I found not too long ago, I was in a motorcycle shop, and they had these chains that you tie your vest together with. They go from one side of the vest to the other side of the vest. And it was so beautiful that I bought 2 or 3 of those and handed them out to some people. But I wear that all the time. And so anytime I got my vest on, I got my breast cancer survivor chain on as well. And then I want to make sure that when we conclude today, that we say prayers for Noah Coles, who is a member of the Simpson Street Church of Christ, who is in the hospital at this particular time. And we want to certainly to pray for her. If you remember, about 6 months ago, her husband passed away, John Coles. They're all from California, out in California. And so, but she's in the hospital at this particular time. And others whom you might know as a listener who is in the hospital, hospice, their home, they're being cared for, and also Sister Patricia Dillard, who goes to the Grace Free Church of Christ, is in McMinnville, Tennessee, at this time with her daughter Geneva, who is in hospice, but she's in the house, she's in her own home, but they come and take care of her, and she's in pretty serious condition. So we want to keep all of those people and all those kind of prayers in our prayers. And so we're just so thankful for you today. And that song that was sung a while ago mentioning about God's grace and mercy brought us through. What I want you to turn to this morning is the book of Ezekiel. I have been looking at the book of Ezekiel and studying some points of interest in that book. And one thing that you need to understand is that as you mature, I'm not going to use the word getting old, but as you mature, there are certain things that look different and comes about that you wouldn't do if you was a younger person. I can remember when I was in school, or at least I heard from a guy who was in school, being a graduate of Memphis School of Preaching in Memphis, Tennessee. At the time when I was there, it was on Knight Arnold Road, downtown sort of. But now they've moved out to Mississippi, really, and Germantown. I was trying to get that word in my mind. They moved out in Germantown, so they have a different location now, but it was at a different location when I was there. But one of the preachers who used to come through there was up in his 80s now, and what he said was, he said, when he looked at the book of Psalms, it looked a whole lot different at 80 than it did when he was at 20. And I say that to all of our preachers. I know you've been preaching certain things and this and that, but go back. Now that you have reached some age of maturity, go back and look at the little jewels and the little nuggets that we did not pick up, that we did not use along the way. And Ezekiel is one of those books. One of the interesting things, I want to just give you a little background of that before we go into the passage of Scripture, maybe next Wednesday or something of that sort. But Ezekiel is to speak of sin, punishment, and the restoration. I like those three combinations, and we should have been doing that with our preaching all along. Sometimes we didn't. Sometimes we just beat people over the head and tell them about the hell side of it, but never talked about the other side. But Ezekiel is one that's going to talk about their sins, their punishment, and then there is a restoration, or mercy and grace at the end of it. He prophesied sometime, even though they was in exile, about the hope that they had. So here's the thing. We have two characters in this book, and that is Ezekiel and God, or Yahweh, as they would call him, in this passage. Ezekiel balances out Isaiah and Jeremiah. If you notice, the book of Ezekiel comes right after the book of Jeremiah, a very powerful prophet. And of course, Ezekiel was a prophet and a priest. But he balances out this message from Isaiah and from Jeremiah, because Isaiah states the seriousness of Israel's sin, and notes that the coming of the Messiah and the day of Yahweh can change people. And then Jeremiah, he discusses concerning the rebellion and the fall of Jerusalem and the aftermath of what's going on. And so both books focus on the hope at times, and yet they place hope in the future. And then Ezekiel comments on the judgment as well. So this prophet encourages, when I looked at this book, it looks so much like 2020. It just looks so much like 2020. He offers hope that God still loves one even in exile, and he will make the future brighter than the past. And so when we look at this particular thought and idea, there are several things that involves here. First of all, let's look at what Ezekiel is faced with. Despite their good treatment, see, this is different than when they was in Israel, when they was in Egyptian bondage. They pretty much were slaves when they was in Egyptian bondage. But now they're in exile. Some of them got pretty comfortable. And when time came for them to even come out of exile, some folk didn't want to come out because they had sort of got pretty comfortable. But look what happens, though, if they stayed in exile. Number one, first, they would lose their spiritual identity. if they stayed in there too long, and they would adapt the Babylonian lifestyle and religion. If they stayed in there too long, I've noticed some people who come over here from different places. Sometimes if they stay over here too long and don't keep practicing it, they start to lose the accent. Now, you when you're looking at them, you know they're not from around your hometown or my hometown, but you say that accent is just a little bit off. And so when they was in exile, they went into exile, and the reason why that they went in there was because of their sin, and God was going to punish them. And so first of all, if they stayed in there too long, they'd lose their identity, and they would begin to worship the Babylonian God. And then secondly, the people wondered if God cared for them now that they were out of the promised land and have sins cut them off from Yahweh. Do they have a future? See, here's the thing. Here goes the thing. They was trying to figure out, does God care? When we're facing difficulties and stuff like that, don't we go back to that little pity party? Don't we revert back to that and say, do God care? And then thirdly, they considered whether their God was more powerful than the Babylonians' God. After all, Yahweh did not keep them from going into exile. You got to understand now. You got to understand that we are free moral agent, and God is always going to be there for us, but he's not going to stop us from going some of the directions that we want to go. This book reminds me of so many books in the Bible. It's just pitiful. It's almost a whole year's sermon within itself, because this thought right here makes me go back to the book of Romans, where he said that God gave them up to do the things that they wanted to do. So he's going to try to keep you on track, but if you want to get off track, go ahead and jump the track. But these people, after they had jumped the track, they wondered if God cared about them at all, since they was in exile. And then fourthly, they questioned why they were in exile at all. Matter of fact, they were getting ready to pass the buck. Some of them, they said that they thought the older people or the elders of the people are the ones who caused them to be in the first place. And so then we see Ezekiel speaking of their sins, their punishment, and we see them speaking of their restoration. And he's going to see, he's been a watchman over them, and he's really going to see what this is all about. But here's the deal. God tells Ezekiel up front, you are going to be speaking to some of the most hard-headed people in the world. I wish some preachers would recognize that. You're going to be speaking to some of the most hard-headed people in the world. They're going to be so rebellious. And then he said the strangers are going to hear you, but God's people are going to reject you. But what I want you to do is stay the course. He said, I want you to stay the course. Whatever you do, whatever they say, how they act, whatever you do, don't jump ship. You stay with it. Well, next time we're going to talk about, but even in all of this, God will enable him to fulfill his ministry. In all of that, they won't listen to him. They're hard-headed. They're still crooked. And then God gives him some symbols and some signs. But what he says is, you stay the course. Each one of us need to understand that we have sins, we have punishments, but at the end of it, some kind of way, if we turn ourselves around, we can have some restoration. Father, we ask a special blessing for Sister Nora Coles today, as she is in the hospital of Geneva, as she's in at home and yet being cared by hospice care. And we ask you that you take us through this day. And I want to encourage you to read the book of Ezekiel, and we'll talk about it another time. Jesus loved you. He died for you, and he's coming again, and try to have a super-duper day.